So this Advent season, I've been spending a lot of time on like the major players in the gospel story. And for some of you, this may seem to be strange. Even as we were reading sort of the Advent reading that my family and I had tonight, some of the language and some of the words, it seemed to me like, I bet if you've never been to church very much, some of this just sounds very strange. The language sounds kind of intense and archaic and old-fashioned. And so I want to say to you that maybe we can kind of address some of that tonight and maybe be a little helpful to you in understanding what this great story is about. Because sometimes when you watch programs on TV and somebody will be talking about Christmas and then they'll give these summations about what Christmas is about. You know, so they'll say something like, you know, everybody wants to be home for the holidays. They want to be with their family because that's what Christmas is all about, right? Or they're out gift giving or buying or whatever and sort of, you know, stimulating the economy. And they'll say, because that's what Christmas is all about. But that's really not what Christmas is all about. As much as we love to buy gifts, as much as we love to be with our families during this time, that's really not what Christmas is all about. Christmas is about something more than that. As good as all those things are, as magnificent as they can be, as enjoyable as we like them in our lives, that's really not what Christmas is about. Christmas is about this fantastic story where God sends his son in the form of a human being so that as an adult, he could pay for sins and rescue us from our nature because we are incapable of doing that ourselves. And so when we talk about gift giving, the whole idea of gift giving, for example, began because of how Christ was described as a gift to us, that God the Father gave humanity the gift of his Son to save us from our sin. And so the whole idea of gift giving came out of that. That's where gift giving came from. So when we think about how we've moved in our culture, and we have moved a lot, I mean, again, if you read the paper or see stuff online, then you see things like happy holidays or happy sparkle season. Or on Facebook, this is one of my favorites, happy winter solstice. Whatever that means. I don't know what that means, but happy winter. We've migrated as a culture away from the real meaning of what Christmas is all about. So, Bonnie, I see you. Oh, Bonnie's telling me to fix my tie. There you go. Thank you, Bonnie. People were taking pictures, and it's just got to be good. So, but here's the remarkable thing. Again, when we think about the nature of God and how God works in our life, our view of God is really far too small. Way too small. So I've used this example in the past, and for those of you who have heard this example, forgive me for using it. It was about 3 or 4 years ago I used this, but I want to use this example here because there may be some that never heard this before. So what I'd like you to do, if you would, is I'd like you to picture a white wall, just a big white wall. In the middle of that white wall, I'd like you to take like a Sharpie pen and go up to the white wall, and I just want you to put a little dot, just a little black dot on that white wall. And then I want you to walk away. But I want you to remember that little tiny dot on that big white wall. The state of Pennsylvania is about 300 miles wide. It takes about 6 or 7 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other end of the state. The United States is about 3,000 miles wide. About 1,800 miles or 2,000 miles long, but about 3,000 miles wide. And it takes a lot of days from New Jersey to California to drive that all in one shot. the earth that you and I live on, this globe that we live on. And many people are surprised by this. There's only 21,000 miles in circumference. How many of us drive 21,000 miles in our car in 1 year? But it's only 21,000 miles in circumference, this planet that we live on. From the earth to the moon is about 250,000 miles. So the closest satellite, natural satellite to the earth, is what we call the moon. And it's about 250,000 miles. And it takes about 2 weeks to fly there with our current technology. So if you were to look at the solar system and how close the earth is to the moon, you think, man, that's just like, it's almost kissing the earth. It's 250,000 miles. It takes 2 weeks to fly from the earth to the moon. All of that is contained within this thing called a solar system. And you could spend a good portion of your life flying from the earth to the outer limits of the solar system. Just this one solar system. But we live in one solar system, but there are millions and millions and millions and millions of solar systems all around us. And you could not in your lifetime, or in many lifetimes, fly from this solar system to the next closest solar system. You would die before you got there. Yes, that's right, true. So, but you would die before you got there. Now, a group of solar systems is called a galaxy. And there are millions and millions and millions of solar systems in a galaxy that contain millions and millions, each of them millions and millions and millions of solar systems. And then we live in this, and then not only that, but there's a group of galaxies, and do you know what they're called? They're called a cluster. And there are millions and millions and millions and millions of galaxies in a cluster. And in all those galaxies, each of those galaxies, millions and millions and millions of solar systems, and each of those solar systems, millions and millions and millions and millions, billions and billions of planets. But there is a thing called a supercluster. And in the supercluster are millions and millions and millions of clusters. Each cluster containing millions and millions and millions and millions of galaxies. Each galaxy containing millions and millions and millions and millions of solar systems. Each solar system containing its own individual planets. Do you remember that black dot on the big white wall? That black dot is the universe that I described to you. And that white wall that is endless from this in this direction, in that direction, in this direction, in that direction, three-dimensionally, in every direction, there's this whiteness. And in the middle of that whiteness is this black dot. And that black dot is the universe that you and I live in. And that whiteness is the God of the universe. And somehow, God is so powerful and so significant and so magnificent that in the creation of that little black dot that we call the universe, He is able to not only be so large, but He is also able to be so big and so small. And He can reach down through all those superclusters and clusters and galaxies and solar systems, and He can create people like you and me. And as He creates us, He can say, "You are mine. I love you. But you belong to me." And guess what He says? You are not right. You are not just. You are not righteous. You are not holy. And if you can't be and are not those things, then you cannot be with me in all of this beautiful whiteness, all of this purity, all of this goodness. But then He goes on to say, "But I've made a plan. I'm going to send my son. And I'm going to make him in such a way that he gives to you the possibility of holiness and goodness and righteousness because of how he would die. Now, I got to confess something to you. We were back there sweating bullets trying to get this Hallelujah Chorus thing up for you. It's the one where the guy's in the cafe and he's playing the piano and it's very melodic and beautiful and calm and people are sort of talking in the background, just like everybody here was talking in the background, you know? But then this music comes on and it sort of gets everybody's attention and then they enter into this holy moment. Just like everybody here was talking, and so through that video, we wanted to create a holy moment. But we couldn't load the one that we wanted, and so we loaded another one that looked like it was the right one. And so you're like, oh, isn't this beautiful, this music, this picture of a baby, oh, it's wonderful. Oh, there's Jesus being crucified and tortured. And so I'm bringing up that example because I want to tell you that despite our best effort, no matter how hard we work, no matter how sincere we try to be, you always find a way to mess it up somehow. You just do. But thanks be to God who covers for me, who covers for me when I mess it up. So what Christmas is really all about, it's about Jesus sending his son to cover all the times that we mess up in our life, whether out of our brokenness or whether out of our depravity. It's the beginning. So, you know, as we've gone through the Advent season, the angels appear before Mary and Joseph. God sends these heavenly messengers. That's what the word angel means. It means messenger. And he sends these messengers to these peasants, to people that nobody else in their society would pay any attention to. They're good people, they're righteous people, but they're really, really poor and impoverished, and they're not very significant socially. But God sends these messengers to Mary and Joseph, and then he sends them to the shepherds, another group of people who are not very strong in terms of being socially elite. In fact, they're at the bottom of the pole. And when you read what the angels say about what God has done, and they begin to sing glory to God in the highest, there are two things that are working through those angels' minds about what is taking place in the life of Mary and Joseph. The first is this, that those angels just moments ago were with Jesus Christ in heaven in all of his glory. And that Jesus left heaven and set aside much of his godly attributes and he became like you and me. And I like to use this illustration. So I want you to picture of what it would be like to be human and then to make yourself into a slug, but still remembering what it meant to be like a human. And the angels are singing how amazing it is that the God of the universe would do this. But the second part of what they're singing is excitement to humanity, saying, do you understand that this is the beginning? That our salvation has come. Your salvation, they are saying to humanity, has come. And the darkness, as you were singing, send the light. This light named Jesus Christ would drive back the darkness and save us from it. And so the Christmas season, Christ must, the day of Christ is what Christmas means. Christmas is about the day of Christ. It's not about sparkle season. It's not about the solstice. It's not about just gifts. It's not just about family. It's trying to imitate the messenger the angels who were amazed at what had taken place 2,000 years ago, and we should be equally amazed by what had taken place 2,000 years ago as well. And so we are here hopefully to celebrate and to be amazed by this terrific thing, this awesome thing that God has done for us. In 5 months or so, 4 months, we're going to be celebrating the other end of that story. That day is an even more holy day. But this day is a day of thanksgiving, of being overwhelmed that God would love us so much that He would send His Son in the form of a human being, knowing what would happen to Him 33 years later. If you get a chance, tomorrow or sometime this next week, take the time to read, particularly through Matthew and Luke, the entire birth account of Jesus. Choose to be amazed. Choose to remember this is really what the Christmas season is all about.